Special coverage from the New Orleans Investment Conference is brought to you by Victoria Gold Corp, leading UConn's new gold rush.
Welcome back to SOAR Financially. Welcome back to New Orleans and the New Orleans Investment Conference. My name is Kai Hoff, and I'm the EdgeR mining guy on Twitter and the CEO of the SOAR Financial Group. Thanks so much for joining us here in New Orleans. And I'm joined by Peter Bokvar. He's a chief investment strategist over at Bleakley Financial Group and, of course, author of the book report. Peter, it's great to see you again. I love doing this in person. How are you?
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks.
I hear you've been busy.
Yeah, quite a bit.
What's been keeping you
running
busy?
Around.
This is quite a busy conference.
Yeah, I presented in the morning and then did a round table and did another table inside and...
What's the mood? Like, how would you describe it? Like, what's the sentiment like? What are you hearing?
Well, the sentiment here is always glass is half empty. Yeah. I think it's no different. But, you know, I think there are some differences of opinion on how things play out from here and whether it's manageable or not. But I think, generally speaking, people here are always watching their back for what the outsized risks are. And there seem to be in the world a lot more risks out there.
One thing I've picked up, like my spidey senses tingle a little bit, is like a sense of urgency seems to have appeared a little bit here that we didn't have maybe last year.
You have this just notable rise in interest rates that seem to be staying at high levels for a while. And now over the last couple of months, we've seen a sharp rise in longer term interest rates, which complicates the story even more, even though inflation has moderated, which is what everyone originally was worried about. And now the economic pressures seem to be really, in my opinion, swirling and potentially intensifying, notwithstanding the strong Q3 GDP number that we saw in the U.S.
Is there some window dressing happening? Like you just mentioned the GDP number, like 4.9%, 4.8, 4.9%. I was blown away by that number, personally. Like, I couldn't make rhyme or reason of it. Can you lift the skirt on that a little bit? Like, why is it 4.9%? And do you believe it?
Well, it's the consumer made up about half of that. But the consumer, the way that they're behaving is very bifurcated. You have lower to middle income consumers that have been prioritizing where they spend their money on, spending certainly much less on discretionary items and more so on food and beverage and travel. Higher end consumer seems to be keeping things afloat. Manufacturing's in a recession. Business investment within that number was flattish. You did see a big jump in government spending, and you also saw a jump in inventory build. Now, there's going to be a lot of give back in the fourth quarter. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was very little growth in the fourth quarter with potentially even a minus sign in front of it.
See, that's what I thought for Q3, and all of a sudden we've seen that explosion from 2.1 to 4.9, 4.8%. Like, inventories is another topic. Like, you see, because the Christmas period is coming, it was the inventory. Where was that build up? Have you had a chance to look at that, where that's coming from?
Well, it's inventories have built generally over the year. I mean, companies are now really trying to destock. I was actually surprised by that inventory build because everywhere I hear, companies are destocking. So I'm not exactly sure what was the main reason for that.
Sort of mentioned. Like,
but, well, I do say part of it was autos.
Yep.
You know, the auto lots have been normalizing all year. So a chunk of that definitely is on the auto sector.
Gotcha. You mentioned earlier that the economy doesn't seem to be what it is. Like, what are some of the indicators you're looking at that sort of make that prediction, like that help you lead you to that conclusion?
All you have to do is read the beige book from the Fed that came out a couple weeks ago and read what the sort of the economic conclusion was of each of the Fed districts. At best, the economy was growing slightly. And slightly doesn't really equate to 4.9% growth. But 4.9% growth is not where the economy is. That's a quarter over quarter annualized basis. So it's not a good metric for on an annualized basis. Because Q4, if it comes in at 1%, you average that with Q3 and you obviously get a different story. So to me, at best, the economy is growing slightly and nothing more than that.
Your presentation title is just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't. Everybody's been talking about, I'm assuming you as well, the recession, right? Why hasn't it happened yet?
Well, it's the U.S. manufacturing is in a recession. The ISM has been below 50 for 12 months in a row. That's a recession. Existing home sales in the U.S., that's in a recession. And anything related to the selling of a home is in a recession. The lower to middle income consumer is essentially in a recession. So in my eyes, this recession or not recession is more semantics. You know, there's some serious pockets of fragility in the economy. that I think people should not miss the big picture and really define it as recession or no recession. And if there's no recession, everything is fine.
Just because it hasn't been labeled yet doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right. And the rise in interest rates doesn't affect everyone all at the same time. It affects you if you have a loan coming due. It affects if your adjustable rate mortgage is coming due. So it affects people at different times, but it still will affect you if you have loans coming due in the next couple of years. You can't avoid it.
The term rolling recession comes to mind again. It hasn't been used in a while. I haven't heard it actually in a couple of months now. Is that something what you're describing here as a rolling recession? Certain sectors get hit differently?
Yeah. I mean, it could be one way of defining it, but it should not be meant to think that, okay, the first one to fall into recession is the first one necessarily to come out. It's sort of the bowling pin that knocks out, you don't knock out all the pins all at once. They it's a progression of things.
Absolutely. What is one of the main key takeaways? Like the investors sitting in the ballroom, like what's your message of your presentation? What do you want them to take away from it?
We did it.
That we're in a new regime in terms of the backdrop. You know, one of the things that you teach your kid is to be aware of their surroundings. Well, us as investors have to be aware of our investing surroundings. And with interest rates at 5%-ish across the board, you know, 4 to 5, that is a much different environment than people got used to over the previous 15 years. And it's not just the 4 to 5% in itself, it's the 15 years of essentially zero beforehand. And all the bad, negative things that created over a 15-year time frame, that 5% interest rate, which historically was normal, ends up becoming a shock to the economic system.
Bond yields is a topic I want to briefly discuss with you as well, because we've seen a massive drop the last 2 days in the bond yield. Is that just short covering, or what do you see happening in the bond market there?
I mean, we got some relief in, with the inflation numbers out of Europe. So we've seen a rally in European bonds. Obviously, the disappointing jobs number is another factor. And, you know, I think we sort of, in the short term, technically just stretched the rubber band too much on the long end yield. But even at 4.5% 10-year, you're still up 75 basis points from where you were in July. So we've still seen this notable move. But I think temporarily we're going to have a little respite here in terms of long-term interest rates. Still, notwithstanding the third quarter GDP number, still people are expecting a deceleration. So that has also helped to rally bonds, see a drop in yields. But I don't think we've seen the top in yields, but we've seen a temporary one though.
To make back to your presentation title, just because it hasn't happened yet, a lot of analysts and people we had on the program as well say late Q1, early Q2 seems to be the time for the recession. Would you agree? Since you're already saying like certain sectors are in a recession already, like with that timing, like I have a hard time with it personally, because we've tried to predict it for a while and it seems to be being put off and hasn't happened yet, as you say.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that timing? Like, what do you make of it?
I mean, I thought it would be early this year or late last year on the very aggressive monetary tightening. But like I said, you have to focus on all areas of the economy here. And some parts of the economy are already in a recession. So it's really like the upper end of consumer that's keeping the economy on its shoulders. And now that you have a rising unemployment rate, I mean, the unemployment rate is now at the highest level since early 2022. I mean, you're heading into a recession. And whether it's Q1, Q2, I'm not sure, but I can guarantee we will get one. And you don't avoid one when you see the interest rate rise we've seen in such a short period of time after almost 2 decades of no interest rates.
The U.S. has a big election year coming, 2024. How do you factor that in? Does that play a role at all?
I mean, you really can't. I mean, investing your politics has been always very difficult to do. So I don't know what to make of it. It's going to be more entertainment, and it'll be good for the news networks who get to sell a lot of advertising. But in terms of the markets, I can't really define the impact.
One other thing like that leads me to that question is like presidents or sitting presidents like to give out gifts before they either want to get reelected or they're done. There's like, okay, I want to leave a positive note here. Student loan debt is one of the topics that always gets discussed in that regard. How is that currently impacting?
What was that?
The student loan.
Yes, right.
How is that impacting consumer? Like, how is that sort of looking? It's one of the topics, obviously, but it's a big number that's being discussed, obviously. So
it depends on who you are. If you're a doctor who has student loans, well, you know, chances are you're doing okay and you can handle the student loan repayments. If you don't have a job and you need to resume it, well, then you're going to get impacted. I think in the aggregate, from what I'm hearing, it actually hasn't had as much of an impact as people were fearing. But for a certain part of the population, getting back to the lower and middle income consumer that's essentially feeling their own recession, they're feeling it. But someone who's a lawyer, who's paying off law school bills, I really wouldn't worry about them.
Yeah. It's a bifurcated recession.
It seems to be.
Right? Like, it's like, just, I'm trying to explain, it's like, I'm trying to make sense of it, like, because everybody talks about it, but it is really different.
Yeah, everyone wants, like, you know, is the dollar going up? Is it going down? Well, maybe going up against some currencies, it may go down against others. Is the economy expanding or is it contracting? Well, some parts are expanding, some parts are contracting. And I think it's really important to dig under the hood and get nuanced about this instead of just talking in generalities.
Let's dare a forecast a little bit, because we're always doom and gloomy a bit here on the channel as well. What is your forecast to the markets? So let's say S&P 500 gold bond yields for the next 12 months here.
So I was on a panel today, and it ended with, what's your sort of prediction? Give one prediction to the following year. And I try to be contrarian. Not for contrarian's sake, but I try to look at things that other people aren't paying attention to. And I argued that the Hang Seng would outperform the S&P 500 over the next 12 months. I think that the earnings picture is getting tough for American companies. I think the two biggest drivers of profit margin expansion were low interest expense and modest wage costs, and those are reversing. I think that growth overall is going to continue to weaken, and markets just not trading at a very attractive valuation. So with gold, you know, I've been a bull for years now. So for me to say I think it's going to go higher, it's not really saying anything new. So I don't know what value that's going to add, particularly with people that are following this channel. But, you know, I do have to say that gold, in the face of a very sharp rise in real rates over the past couple of years, where the five-year real rate has risen 450 basis points and gold is still up, tells you that there's a strong underlying bid for gold.
Absolutely. No, it's interesting because we always look for the negatives on this channel and rarely look for the positives. Like, okay, what could contribute to a positive S&P 500 development, right? So that's sort of the backbone of the question. Peter, last question of the interview. We're in the middle of Q3 earnings report season. Are you following that at all? It's like, are you looking at what the Target CEO, for example, says? Like, are you following that?
Very closely. I listen to probably 70 conference calls a quarter for stocks that we own. And other names that I want to pay attention to. And, you know, challenging macroeconomic environment is something that I've been hearing for many quarters. So I'm hearing it again. One thing that the Target CEO said to Becky Quick on CNBC, that even people are being a little bit more careful what they spend on food and beverage. You know, there's one thing to spend less on discretionary stuff, but to then say that you're becoming a bit more careful in what you're spending on non-discretionary stuff, you know, that tells you that there's a very vulnerable consumer out there that I think people should take note. I'm thinking the industrial side, I mean, manufacturing, like I said, is in a recession. Now, on the other hand, travel and leisure has been doing very well. Booking Holdings, even though the stock is down, did talk positively about leisure and travel. Live Nation, stock we own, they had great quarter. People love to go out to see concerts. So it really depends on where you're in. But I think generally, I mean, people acknowledge that it's a tougher economic environment out there.
Do you follow Airbnb at all?
I do. And I look through their earnings call. Yeah. And while their business still is growing, they did talk about the variability of bookings. So I think that was something that investors took note of.
What I learned this week, actually, I hadn't paid close attention to Airbnb at all, is they're actually doing really well in a high interest rate environment because they have so much money on the books from their clients that they manage for like 3 to 6 months. And their cash flow from interest payment has exploded.
Yeah, well, that's the case with a lot of companies that have cash because they can invest and get a high rate. I think the challenge for Airbnb is the Airbnb sponsors. You know, those that decided, I'm going to buy an apartment and I'm going to turn this into a business and rent out. The sharp jump in interest rates, if they didn't term that out, could become a challenge for them. And that's something that I'm watching as well.
Fantastic. Peter, fantastic conversation. Love that you stopped by. Appreciate your time. Where can we find more of you?
So if you're interested in wealth management, I'm the CIO of Bleakley Financial Group, as you mentioned. And then I write daily commentary under the title of the book report.
Fantastic. Awesome. Peter, thanks so much for your time.
Thank
you. Everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in here at SOAR Financially from the New Orleans Investment Conference. If you haven't done so, smash that subscribe button, leave a comment, leave a like. Are you watching the Q3 financials? Is there anything that jumped out at you that you should mention or we should discuss here on the channel as well? Leave that in the comments below. We do want to hear from you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with lots more. Thank you.